Well, we just got back from Uganda.
Oh, are you serious?
Just.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
You went?
Yeah, I went. Spur of the moment.
Was that your first time?
It was my first time to Uganda. My third time to Africa.
You went on safari the other time, right?
No, I was there 8 months on. Yeah, elephant hunting. Now, the other times I was with, you guys remember Marshall and Jackie, I was with them and teaching in the Bible school and doing all kinds of things. But it was a great trip. It was unbelievable because I think, you know, when you do stuff like that, it seems like God does more in you than I think he does for the people you're going with. So, I mean, the people you're going there for. But it was awesome. We missed a flight. I mean, there was a lot of trouble traveling because you had to switch planes, and we missed our flight, so we ended up in Kenya, and then we had to fly to. I mean, it was a mess.
Wow!
So we missed 2 nights of sleep.
Oh, wow!
It's hard for me to sleep in a plane, so we got there finally. We were supposed to get there the night before, but then we got there that morning, but we already had things scheduled. Because, man, they had our whole week planned.
I mean,
you know Joel.
Yeah.
Him and Dennis, Dennis is right. They had, man, we were. So I got there. We all got there. And we put all of our luggage up. And we ran out to the Champions, to the main campus. And I looked over. At one point, I looked over. And Pastor Jim was sitting in his chair completely asleep. David Halverson, completely asleep.
That's awesome.
David Cooper, completely asleep. Me, I was sleeping too. I was sleeping. But I just happened to wake up and I looked up because we were. I can't even describe how exhausting it was. But it was awesome. And then we got up and they gave him a bunch of things. We gave him a bunch of stuff and then they take pictures of, oh my gosh. You had to do something, you know, and then you had to pose, and it was just crazy. Because they're so excited that we're there, and they want everything to be documented, you know. So it was very interesting.
Wow.
But the thing I noticed about the whole trip for me, for personally myself, I was like, I couldn't believe how much peace I had the whole time. How I wasn't anxious about anything. I didn't care from this. I didn't care about anything because I knew God had everything under control. And I wasn't stressed or... Normally when I fly in a plane, I'm really stressed out because I hate flying and I just don't like the whole process of it, or I don't like the... My ears hurt and, you know, just the whole thing. And it's scary because, you know, you get turbulence and the whole plane's going like this and I look out and I don't understand why the wings don't fall off and...
Right? Oh, yeah.
Oh, it stays up.
But I never had any of that the whole trip. Right. I never even thought about it. I didn't even... my ears never hurt for the first time ever since I've flown. They didn't hurt at all. And God was... Everything was so peaceful in the midst of total chaos.
Yeah.
The whole trip was nothing but chaos. The traffic over there in Tebby and... it was just all... It just crazy. Because the traffic, there's no stop signs. There's no stop lights. There's just... I don't even understand how it works.
Yeah.
And there's like thousands and thousands of automobiles and taxis and bola bolas or the motorcycles. They have thousands and thousands of motorcycles. So all the cars are all jammed up in traffic and there's like thousands of motorcycles just weaving in and out. And it's crazy. And then Sunday morning night, we all split up and we had to teach. This was just a few days later. And I never knew where I was going. I never knew what we were doing. Never, not one time during no trip. Except when we went to Parliament. That I knew we were going there. Because Jim spoke at the Parliament. But anyway, Sunday morning, we go to Pastor Joel's church, and then everybody split up and went to other churches. So everybody got in their little, their vans and stuff and left. And then I was there by myself, except for Jim went into the building, you know, to teach. And then one of the pastors came up to me and goes, oh, you come with me. We're going to take a bola bola. I was like, what?
Oh, wow. That's great.
So we walked out to the edge of the driveway, and then, you know, it's just all dirt. Everything's dirt, except for the main road. And I got on one of those bullet boats, which is a motorcycle. You know, I just sit in the motorcycle, hang on, I had my bag, and I was like, so they took me, and then I got, they took me, and then I had to get on another one. That was part of the trip. That was just the beginning. Then I got on another one, went to the Entebbe Road, which was a big highway going to the airport. And I took a taxi. There was like 500, this is exaggeration, 500 people in this little minivan. That's a taxi. And I was just like, and I was sweating. It was, oh, it was awful. And then I went, then I got another bullet boat after we dropped off, and I got another one of those motorcycles and went to the church, which was down by the Lake Victoria. Anyway, and then the same way on the way back. It was just, it was, but the whole trip was like that. Yeah, I never knew where I was going, never knew what I was going to do. It was just, I don't even think anybody else on our team did either, because Yoel had everything planned out. And anyway, but it was fun. It was fun living like that for a couple of weeks. And never knew we were going to eat. We'd go 10, 12, I don't know, whatever hours without even eating, because they didn't even, because we were so busy and didn't know what, and they didn't know. We weren't really busy, but in a sense that we were stressed, but it was just like you didn't even think about it. And all of a sudden you'd think, man, I am starving. And then they'd finally feed you like at 10. Then we went to bed at 12 o'clock at night. We'd sleep a couple hours and we'd start all over again. And we were late for everything, because we'd be at the hotel and they'd say, okay, we're going to pick you up between, they'd always say, they're going to pick us up between 6 and 6:30, they'd always say, we'll pick you up between 6:30 and 6. They always did it backwards. And they were always 45 minutes late, and it took forever to get everywhere, but it was so much fun. The people there are so awesome. If they have food and shelter, they're pretty content. That's all they, you know, they make $10 a day, whatever the thing. They don't hardly make any money. And so if they have food, place to sleep, man, they are happy. That just makes them so happy. Wow, I got food today. I'm blessed. So it's kind of neat to see that. It's so different than the United States, where we have everything and so readily available and everything. But they don't have all that stuff. They have nothing. But the ministry they have there is really awesome. The kids, they have all those orphans, and they just have all these plans, and they're really good because they're becoming totally self-sufficient. They grow a crop, they take some of the crop, they feed the champions, then with the other, they sell it at the market to make money for the champions, and they bought a piece of property where they're building a hotel. When that hotel's complete, all that money will go towards taking care of the church and the champions and all that. So eventually they'll be 100% self-sufficient. And they have the tractor, they have, which is unbelievable, because now they can plow the field, and it's done way faster. They're making bricks. I actually got to make a brick. That was pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
It's like, I want to make one of those bricks. Because they have bricks for the... what they do is when they're going to build a building, first they get there and then they just make bricks. And they're stacked up really high, just bricks. Like, I think they needed 30,000 bricks. So there's a guy there there's like three guys, that's all they do all day is make bricks. And they have these forms and they pour it and then they stamp it down and they have a process they use. And then but they make all the material right there. I mean, everything's just right there. In some places, they make them out of the dirt that's there. They just put straw in there and stuff like that, and they make the bricks. So it's very interesting how they do things, but it's very practical, and they're very they're very thankful people, and they're patient. They know they got this thing planned 20 years down the road, but they're patient. They're not in a hurry. They're not, you know, it's really nice. So it was on the outside. It was could have been a really stressful trip, but because I was stupid, I didn't know anything, and I was just following. Like, we had a driver named Matthew. I'd go, Matthew, you're the best. You are my favorite. You are the best driver. But I was saying that by faith, because it was total chaos. But I couldn't believe there was no accidents. I never saw one. We never been in one. But I mean, those. Like those motorcycles, I would be sitting there and looking out the window, and there's that bowl of bullets right there.
Yeah,
I could just reach out and punch the guy in the face. Whatever, is that close? But I learned a lot, And I'm so thankful that before I left, God was really giving me a lot of revelation on peace. Because peace, in Psalms 80, I think it's 85, it says 10, or 87:10, it says that righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Every time you hear of righteousness in the Bible, peace is right there. Because righteousness gives us peace, the peace that passes on us in. You can't explain it. And I don't know why. The whole trip I had so much peace, even though it was total, it was ridiculous. The schedule was crazy, the traveling, the eating, you didn't know what to eat or not to eat. Anyway, I was like totally at the mercy of all these Ugandans, because they knew what was going on, but we didn't know anything. And I go, what are we doing? What are we doing today? Where are we going? And then halfway through the trip, I go, where are we going? I know where we're going. So it was crazy, but it was so much fun. And they it was fun teaching. Teaching was interesting because you would have to say something, and you had to look at the interpreter, and he would say it, and then you'd have to, so it took a long time. And everybody was really wonderful, so it was awesome. I wanted to read something out of Psalms 146. God actually showed me this morning. I wasn't even reading that psalm. That wasn't even the spot of the Bible I was reading, but God brought me here to this scripture. I'm going to read it to you. It's just a short psalm. It's only 10 verses. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord." Hallelujah. "I will sing praises unto my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help." So that's who not to trust in. "His breath goeth forth, he returneth to the earth, and in that very day his thoughts perish." So it's over. Because people are, our flesh, this flesh, it's not eternal. It's temporal. "Happy is the man that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgments for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever and ever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord." So if you notice when you read that psalm, or you notice when you read the Bible, God does everything. There's nothing you can do. When I was in Zambia, Uganda, that's where I was for, there's nothing I could do. I was completely helpless. I mean, completely. I didn't know anything. I didn't know the culture. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know the shillings. I called them shekels, but the shillings, and then you had to get the money. I mean, the whole thing was just crazy. Because I didn't know anything. So I completely trusted that God, or these Ugandans, and God, they were just going to take care of me. And they did. So that's how God is. You have nothing. And then you think, oh my God. Like I'd text my wife. I'd say, hey, this is what's going on over here in Uganda, blah, blah, blah. And then she would text me like 20 texts right in a row. Because somehow she arranged that we could get free texting. That's how we communicated. And she said, oh my gosh, we need to do this, this, and this. We need, oh God, they need computers. We need to send some money for this. And she had, she had every problem solved. But that would not have solved anything. Even if we did all that, because you cannot. People are not helpable. You can't help people. You can't. It's so overwhelming over there. It's so overwhelming here in the United States. Because there's problems. I mean, there's problems, there's trials, there's just problems everywhere. And you're not going to be able to solve those things, even though you want to. And that's the thing that you have to do when you're in a third world country like that. It's overwhelming. People are starving, there's diseases, there's trouble, there's riots, it's just a mess. But there's nothing you can do. You just got to let it go. You just got to trust God and do your part. Do whatever God's told you to do, and that's it. And then you're peaceful. You cannot help everybody. This world is not helpable. This world's perishing, and you can't sustain it or keep it because there's no help in man. There's no help in princes, but they have everything figured out. The UN, the government, everything is falling apart, and it will fall apart because it's man. It's man. It's just man at his best, and you just can't help people because they have an agenda. They have agenda besides Jesus. If you have another agenda, especially as a Christian, then you will fail in everything you do. But if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding, all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. He gives you hope. He gives you life. He gives you peace. He gives you... The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So everything God does, He does it. And I know Jim says that a lot, his right hand and all that stuff, and that's exactly what it's like. That when I was in Uganda, I had the peace of God that passes on our sin, because I shouldn't have had peace because it was chaos and it was there was no schedule, there was nothing. It was just total. It just seemed like. But God orchestrated all where it all. Then at the end when I looked at it, it all made sense. And I don't know how God did that. But in Uganda, we talked about, God is our only hope. We have, individually, we have our own self-governing thing that God does. But that self-governing is not you governing. You being a self-government, in a sense, that it says.
Amen.
The thing is God's governing you. God's given you His righteousness. Everything you have is a gift. God's given you His righteousness. He's given you His peace. He's given even love. You don't even understand love. Love is it passes all understanding. It passes all knowledge. Peace that passes all understanding. You're not going to figure all that out. I didn't know why I had peace all because it was God. It was just a gift. So everything in the Bible is a gift. And that psalm I just read, there's no hope in man. Even in yourself, you have no hope in yourself. All your hope is in the Lord. That's why we die daily. That's why we die daily, because there's no hope in our flesh. There's no hope in our own goodness. I'm not going to be able to help those Ugandans. I'm just not. And you won't either. And Jim won't either. You cannot help them. God can do it. And that's what he kept telling me. God is your... If you depend on the United States, or you depend on relatives, are you dependent on somebody leaving you an inheritance? Or if you depend on all that, then you're going to be disappointed. If I depend on my wife for my happiness, then I'll be disappointed. If she depends on me for her happiness, she'll be disappointed.
Amen.
If you're trusting in Pastor Jim to figure things out and to with his brain and get everything figured out, then you'll be disappointed. Everything in this world is done by God. He created it. I just read that. He's the creator of all mankind. He created you. He created Willis and Kathy, and He created all of us. And since He created this, He must know how it works. He must know how to do it all. So I just let God do everything for me. I never tried to be good. I don't try to be good. I don't try to make plans. I don't try to do anything. I just let God do it. I go, God, everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God. Anything you're worried about, your kids, your job, your wife, your family, Willis, I mean everything, your roofing company, whatever you worry about, you just pray about it. And then give it to God, then He takes care of it.
Amen.
That's your inheritance. That's what God does. He does everything. You do nothing. He does everything. You do nothing. He does everything. You do nothing. And I got to see that on this trip, because God arranged everything. Somehow through all the ridiculous chaos and all that, it worked out great. And people were blessed. Jim taught, we taught at a marriage conference. We taught at a men's conference. We taught at the parliament twice. Jim talked to the politicians and the church leaders in the country and all that. And it just all worked out. And it was great. Even though the Wednesday night I went to this one church to teach, and they waited for me for an hour and 40 minutes. You know, if I didn't show up here this morning, I'd be gone by now. But they waited for an hour and 40. I couldn't believe it. I thought I didn't even know I was that late, because I didn't know anything. I just knew, oh, you're teaching at Pastor Michael's church, or this was Fred and Alice. They all had funny names, because the church I went to Wednesday night was Fred, Pastor Fred. I mean, you know, you just don't think of an African being named Fred. Fred and his wife's name was Alice. But they all had names like that. You know, Matthew and Robert and whatever their names were.
These are their real names?
Yeah, they're Christian. They call them their Christian names. But I didn't know if Fred is a Christian name or not, but I guess it is. Fred and Alice. But they waited an hour and 40 minutes. I got there, and he goes, you know, because they all have accents, I didn't really answer. But he goes, he looked at me, he goes, hey, we want you to talk, but you got 20 minutes. I said, okay, no problem. I didn't know what he was talking about. He goes, we waited for an hour and 40 minutes. Like, he was happy about it, though. He wasn't like mad at me or anything. He's like, we waited an hour and 40 minutes. Because I couldn't help it. I was totally at the mercy of the drivers and Pastor Joel and all that, sketching all those things. And so anyway, I got up and I taught on, I can't remember exactly, but it was Galatians 2:20. And so, but before I got there, that's what the pastor preached on, Pastor Fred. And then his wife Alice came. She goes, oh, that scripture. She goes, today I was talking to a Muslim or something. I forgot who she was talking to. But she goes, and I was telling him about the Lord. And I used that scripture, that same scripture. So anyway, and just stuff like that happened all the time. So whenever you spoke, and you didn't have time to, I mean, it was, I did not have time to hardly do anything. Because I was sleeping like maybe 2 or maybe 4 hours a night. And it was just tired all the time. I was just exhausted constantly. I was telling them about when we went to see Champions, that Pastor Jim and David Cooper and me, we were all sleeping while Joel was, I mean, we were all, because we got there, because our plane was delayed because we missed a flight, so we had to go to Kenya. And anyway, we got there. We were supposed to be there the night before so we could sleep and then go, but we didn't make it, so we were all tired, exhausted. Anyway, it was great. But it all worked out good, because we got to pray for all the, you know, we laid hands on every single one of them individually and prayed for them, and then they went and got their gift. Joel had a bunch of gifts for them, and they were all happy. And then I brought the best thing that I think they've received. Anyway, before I left, I thought, you know, I'm going to get a soccer. I think they like to play soccer there. So I bought a soccer ball and a pump to fill the soccer ball. A real nice one, not just a crummy one, a real nice one. Or Leah, actually, my wife, actually. I told her, go buy a soccer ball. I should have brought more, but I didn't know they had so many campuses. But I got there, and man, the kids' eyes just got really big when they saw that soccer ball. And they were like, and then the teachers were all just so excited. That was like, out of all the gifts we brought, that was like the best gift. I should have brought more of them. Yeah, but they, so anyway, I gave them the gift, and I just don't, it's just weird how they do things, but I gave them the soccer. Here, you just take, I actually wanted Abby, David Cooper's daughter, to give it to him, because she's a teenager, and they can relate to her. I said, you just give it to him, but she didn't want to do it. So anyway, I gave the guy the soccer ball, the Champions, and but they have to stop. I had to do it like 3 times because they all want to take pictures. Here it is again, you know. They take pictures of everything. If you sneeze, they want a picture of it. So anyway, it was exciting. But God, like I read, if those of you came in late, I read Psalms 146. Everything is done by God, so you don't have to worry. People get stressed out over this. They get stressed out over signs and wonders, and they get stressed out over wisdom. And as a Christian, you don't have to do that, because that's not up to you. That's not your job. Nothing's your job. Everything is done by God. Look, I just read it. God executes judgment for the oppressed. In other words, he takes care of people that are oppressed. He takes care of them. You don't have to worry about it. He gives food to the hungry. God does that. The Lord loosens the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes. It doesn't say anything there about you doing anything. He opens the eyes of the blind. He gives you revelation. He shows you how much He loves you. He cares for you. He does everything. And you do nothing.
Amen.
And that's exactly the way it was when I went on this trip. I did absolutely nothing. Because I didn't even know what the agenda was. I didn't care. I thought, well, I'm just going to go there because Jesus told me to come. And I love Jesus. And whatever God wants me to say, that's what I'll say. Like at that church when I spoke on Galatians 2:20. I didn't know about that. That's none of my business. That's God's doing. God does that. Because vain is the help of man. Vain is the help of man. Don't put your trust in princes. Don't put your trust in government. Don't put your trust in Pastor Jim or Danny or anybody. Don't put your trust in your spouse. Don't put your trust in anything. Your trust is in the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. If He made the heavens and the earth, He can take care of it Himself. I know it sounds harsh, but I'm like, if God loves the Uganda, then He's got to do it. You know, they can't rely on Mzungus. That's white people. When we would drive in the country before we got to the Champions, there was a road, long road, dirt road, and all the little kids would be out there, Mzungu, Mzungu. They were pretty excited to see a white person, I guess. So that's what they called us. But it was fun. I mean, I had a blast because I did not know. It was probably one of the funnest trips I've ever been on because I didn't know anything. I didn't even know what was going on. I didn't care about food. Didn't even know if we were going to eat. God's telling them, we went 10, 12 hours without even eating or anything. But we did have water. They made sure we had tons of water. So, and we were drinking water because we were sweating constantly. It wasn't even that hot, but it was just humid. And you had to sit so close to one another. Like when I took the taxi to that church I was sitting about, I was like this. And, you know, and the pastor sitting next to me, and he was always apologizing. No, it's fine, really. And I was sweating and being on the boulevard, you know, going to the church on that motorcycle. That was fun. I actually enjoyed that. They were really worried about me because I was 61. Because everybody there, if you're 50, you were old.
Oh, really?
If you were 50, you were old, aren't you? Because of the life, their life expectancy is not near like ours. But
really?
And even the old people there were 58. Anthony, you met Anthony. Anthony was 58. He couldn't believe I was 61. They thought I was, you know, a lot younger. Because they just didn't live that long.
What do
they think about Jim? Oh, he's old. Jim is like, and he's been married for 55 years. He's like, they're just so amazed. Even me, I told him, I've been married 35 years now. And they're like, oh, 35 years. And they're just like amazed.
Mm.
Or if you tell them how many kids you have. Or I told him, I go, oh, Leah's mom and dad live with me. My wife's mom and dad live with me. And they're 95 years old. And they just thought that was, they couldn't even, their brain, they couldn't even comprehend being that old. 95. Because they were telling me, Matthew, that my driver was, hey, Julia, he told me, he goes, hey, these people, they just, you know, if you're 50, that's the cutoff line. If you make it to 50 and go beyond 50, that is, man, you are blessed. That is awesome. They couldn't believe it. So, anyway, that was good. Let me read this psalm again since Julia came late. She's always late. It says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Psalms 146. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto God while I have my being. In other words, as long as you're still alive, you can always praise the Lord. If you don't know anything about anything, you don't know anything about anything, you can still praise the Lord. It's easy. You just open your mouth. In the morning, even this morning, the first thing I think about is I'm going to shout. Because I'm not a shouter. I know it sounds, sometimes people think I am, but I'm not. I don't like to make loud noises and stuff like that. I like things to be peaceful and quiet. But every morning I shout. Sometimes I have to wait till I get in my car because I don't want to wake, you know, waiting Leah's mom and dad up or the kids or anything. So, but when I get in the car, when I was driving here, the first thing I did, I shouted. Hallelujah! I just shouted as loud as I could. You know why? Because the Bible says, shout in the Lord with the voice of victory.
Hallelujah.
Every morning I start with victory. I never start in defeat. I never start confessing my sins. I never start thinking about anything. I always start my morning shouting the victory. Thanks be unto God who's, you know, caused me to triumph in all things. That's your victory. So now I'm already in victory.
Could I just say?
Yeah, go ahead.
Andrew, every morning he goes out to get the paper. It's still dark, like 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And he just started this. He's been doing it for years. He shouts real loud to the neighborhood, "Hallelujah!"
Oh yeah.
And so he.
That's good.
I think he sets the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Praise God.
That's good. That's awesome.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's good. So anyway, we start out in victory. Now the next verse says, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help." Why? Because men are wicked.
Yeah.
Princes, even kings, princes, leaders. Everything's corrupt. In Uganda, we went to the parliament. Everybody has a different agenda. Even in there, all these Christians came and these parliamental people came, but they all have a different take on things. So it's just total confusion. It is in our country too, and it is in our, even in your own family, it could be that way because people have different agendas. If you have agenda, like us, we don't have any agenda. Jesus, that's our whole agenda. So if Jesus is your whole agenda, then he does everything for you, then you have nothing to worry about or to be stressed about or to be anxious about because you'd always give it to Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Everything you give to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and then you don't have to worry about it. I know Julia remembers this. What was that little baby's name? Joel's granddaughter. The one that was sick in the hospital.
Amelia.
Was it Amelia? Anyway, this little girl was sick. And we didn't. And so Sarah, Joel's wife, had to be in the hospital with the baby and all that because it was pretty, I think it might have been maybe more serious than we thought from what I gather because they were really worried about her. But the first thing we did when Joel told us, let's pray. You know how David is, David Halverson. Let's just pray.
Sure.
Yeah, so that's good. That means that's good. Then you don't have to worry about it. So we prayed, and then nobody thought another thing about it. We thought, well, she'll be okay. Even David said that. No, she's fine. She's fine. And sure enough, the day we were leaving, wasn't it the day we were leaving, we went out there and to their house. Is that his house?
Yes.
I don't know. But anyway, we went to someplace, and Sarah was there, and the baby was there, and her mama was there, Joel's daughter, Angela. Yeah, so, and the baby looked great, didn't she? She looked awesome. God just is so good. So that's the way you pray.
Hallelujah.
Once you pray about something, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Because you just gave it to God.
That
you do that in relationships, you do that in jobs, you do that in politics, you do that in everything, all the four types of government, in yourself as an individual, your family, your church and your government, you just pray all the time.
Thank you.
And that way God, even during the day when you a thought comes up, a worry, oh, I forgot to do that, then you pray. Then you don't have to worry about it. Then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds. And that I think was the whole trip for me, was just I couldn't believe how peaceful I was, how everything worked out for good. Because of prayer. And I know they were praying. Those Ugandans pray. I keep calling them Zambians because that's where I was. But the Ugandans, they pray all the time. The church is always praying. And they're big on prayer. If you go to one of their meetings, Jim would teach. You know how Jim is. He teaches a long time. Then Joel would have to get up. Pastor Joel would get up and summarize what Jim said, which would be longer than what Jim preached. It was long. And then they had to pray. Then they had to sing. Then they had to pray again. Then they had to sing another song. So it was, and plus I didn't understand a word they were saying. I was just sitting there going, "Hey, you know, but it was awesome because they're not in a hurry to do anything, or they're not stressed. They're not worried about. Obviously, they're not worried about time, right, Julia? Because there's no such thing as time in Africa. They just come pick you up, take you where you're supposed to go, and you might be an hour late, 2 hours late, but they'll wait for you. like I said, that Wednesday night, I was an hour and 40 minutes late, but they waited the whole time. Because they knew this Mzungu was going to come and talk to them, this white man, and they wanted to hear what I had to say. So it was really good. Let me continue here. His breath goeth forth, talking about man. He returns to the earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. Every thought perishes. You know, every time we think, those thoughts are a waste of time. The Bible says, think on these things. This is what you think on. You always think about the Lord, how good he is, how great he is, how awesome he is. And then you don't ever have another thought. And when you do have another thought, you just cast it down. Oh, gosh, I'm in trouble, blah, blah, blah. Then you just cast that thought down. So you're always casting thoughts down. You think like God thinks. That's why you read your Bible. You read your Bible every day because God's renewing your mind. Right? So you can prove what is the good, the perfect, and acceptable will of God. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to the earth. In his very day his thoughts perish. Happy is the man that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all there that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executed judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. So God does everything. What I'm trying to tell you is God does everything. You do nothing, he does everything. This word, when you read it, God does everything. Ephesians. I want you to turn to Ephesians. I just want to read one scripture. This is a very familiar scripture. You all know it. Everybody, I know you guys all know it for sure. But in Ephesians, God even does eternal things. He does all your walk. He who began a good work in you will do it to the day of Jesus Christ. Verse 6, Ephesians 2:6. We'll start there. And he hath raised us up together. Who has raised us up together? God. And made us, he made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. He's the one that did that. That in ages to come he might show his exceedingly riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not yourself. You did not create yourself. You did not born yourself again. God did that. You didn't do anything. You didn't choose to be born. You didn't choose to, any of this. This is what God did, just as a gift. Not by works. So you didn't do anything. You didn't work. You labored. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. This is rest. Lest any man should boast. You have nothing to... That's the crux of the matter. The thing that you hate the most, Dan, is that you have nothing to boast in. The thing that I hate the most in my flesh, that's my death. That's your death. Your death is you have no glory. You have nothing to boast in. You have nothing to hope in besides Jesus. Your flesh, even though we do it all the time, man, I'm awesome. I am great. This is what we think to ourselves. Man, I'm a great minister. Man, I went to Uganda. I must be a good Christian. Or whatever the thing is. We boast in it like it's awesome. But really, it's just God. To God be the glory. It says in Corinthians that in everything we do, we give God the glory. Everything. Everything you do, give God the glory. But our flesh hates that. That's your death. Your death is you get no glory. You get no, you get nothing. God gets all the glory. But then he gives it right back to you. Because he loves you. He cares for you. He goes, man, good, well done, my good and faithful servant. You did good. Wait a minute, I didn't do anything. I know, but that was good. So we didn't do anything. When you get to heaven, he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. It's going to be him. And you get none of the glory. But we want the glory. If, Jesus said, if my doctrine were of men, then there's glory for man. If that's my doctrine. But no, my doctrine's from above. I only do what the Father does. I only say what the Father says. But people have their own doctrine because they love glory from men. We all do. We all like people to like us and to think we're awesome and to love us and to you know, to sustain us, to keep us going. Because we call it encouragement, but a lot of times it's just boasting in your flesh. You're not really encouraging people; they're just boasting. So God wants to encourage us that He's doing everything, and we can rest. We don't have to work. We don't have to strive. We don't have to keep the thing up. It's hard. Once you boast about something, then you got to keep that up. Man, I'm awesome. Oh, yeah, then you got to keep that up. You know, and it's hard, especially when you get old. Like, let's say you were a man or a woman, and you thought you were, you know, awesome, really good looking, whatever. But then you have to keep that up. You got to get your fingers, nails done. You got to get your hair done a certain way. You got to dress a certain way. It is hard. It's hard work. You know, it's just extremely hard. That's why I think it's really weird about even... It's just hard. You can't do it. It's just easier just to trust in the Lord. Not by works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. His workmanship, not your workmanship, His. You were created. You're a new creation. If you were created naturally in this world, born into this, which you didn't choose, the new creation... That creation is God's creation. It's not yours. You didn't create your new creation. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to do better. I'm going to keep myself, you know, going because I'm a Christian. You know, if you're a Christian, you ought to do good. But to do good, I don't even know. Romans chapter 7. I want to do good, but the good I know to do, I don't do. But the very thing I hate, that I do. I wanted to get up every morning and read my Bible, but you know, I'm tired. I got to work today, and I'm busy. I'm just too busy, God. And even though the Bible says redeeming the time because the days are evil, we don't do it anyway, and we just do our own thing. But it's okay. God's not mad. He knows that. He's not. God is awesome because He's so gracious and kind, slow to anger.
Hallelujah.
And mercy and truth have kissed. They're met together. If you read the Psalms, it talks about that a lot. Mercy and truth are together now. So even though there's truth, it sets you free, but it's your death because God is merciful. But God is merciful. His mercies are new every morning. He's kind. Even though the truth is this, I'm not walking in the truth, God has mercy right there. They're right together. As soon as you sin, there's mercy. It's always there because you're already a new creation. So your sin... As far as the east is from the west, He's removed your sin. So you have no sin because of Jesus. Not because of you. You didn't do anything. Jesus did it all. He died on the cross. He did everything. As a matter of fact, even God never forsaken you. He forsook Jesus. Remember Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because that happened, now you'll never be forsaken, ever. He's always with you. He's always growing you up. He's always... That's what chasing is. You're chasing to the Lord so that you'll have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He does that. Because you're boasting. We're all awesome. For we as workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And there's another scripture that says God prepared all that before the foundation of the world. So if God prepared. It's like when you go eat a meal. If I go to somebody's house and sometimes they prepare a meal for us, well, they prepared it. I don't have to do anything. I'm just sitting down and I just start eating. I mean, it's already prepared. It's already done. It's already been complete. And that's the same with you. You are already complete. You are complete in Him who, in Jesus Christ. You are seated in heavenly places with Christ. You're already complete. It's already done. You have no worries, no stress, no fear, no anxiety. You have peace all the time that passes all understanding. You don't know why you have peace. Can't teach on it. How can you teach peace to something you don't... Because your brain's not going to understand it. How can you teach on love? The Bible says God himself will teach you to love one another. You don't know what love is. You can't figure it out. It might be... Love might be spanking Titus, my son. Love might be showing him mercy. I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't have love. God is love. I can't grasp it or hang on to it or attain to it or something like that. It's just a gift. Everything that we have in this world has been given to us freely by Jesus Christ. So then we have peace with God that passes on it. Because the Bible says that righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And remember when the angels came, they said, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. That's individual by individual. So individually by individually, you become peaceful. Because in the world, you have trouble. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Alex?
Amen.
Neither let it be afraid.
Amen.
You believe in God, believe also in me. So the peace that passes all understanding, it actually, if you read it in the Greek, it actually means that. It means your intellect, your natural man's not going to understand that.
No.
And what does the world want? What does the world want? Peace. That's why people drink alcohol. That's why soccer moms, you know, come home and have two or three glasses of wine before they go to bed, because they want peace. They want, they're stressed. They just got done dealing with kids all day and taking them to soccer practice, ballet, basketball, you know, cooking, whatever they do. I don't know what people do. They have to get to run to Chick-fil-A and buy some food for dinner and whatever. People are stressed. Totally stressed out. And they have no peace. So you have to somehow get that peace. Well, let's move out in the country and there's a little stream there and a brook and a few flowers and nice trees and I can just sit there and have peace. That's not going to work. You'll still be stressed. You'll be thinking about something that'll stress you out. I shouldn't be sitting here right now. I got so much to do. Have you heard people say that? I say that all the time. My wife says that. I can't just sit here. I got stuff to do. So they're stressed. Even if you're trying to be peaceful, you're stressed out. You're stressed out trying to be peaceful. So, but God gives you the peace even in the midst of the storm. Even in the midst of all the chaos in Uganda. I mean, Julia can tell. We had peace, didn't we, Julia? We were peaceful. We didn't worry. We didn't even know where we were going. I didn't know. Maybe Julia might have. I didn't have no idea where I was going, ever. Not one time did I know where I was going. They'd tell me the name of the place. I'm like, that meant nothing to me. We're going to Buda Buda Buda. I'm like, okay, whatever. I had no idea how long it was going to take to get there. So it's...
You were just happy.
Yeah, I was just happy. I was like, okay, well, whatever. And then 2 hours later, I go, are we almost there? We're almost there yet? I need some food or something. I don't know. So it was like that the whole trip. You know, I didn't know... You know, yeah, and we'd be in the airport, and I was like, well, where are we going? What gate are we going to? What's going on? How much time do we have? I don't know. I didn't know anything. But it was awesome, because I like to live like that. But it was the God peace. And God has chosen you, so don't worry. You didn't choose him. You think you did, but you didn't choose God. He chose you, because he loved you with an everlasting love. He's given you peace, a peace that passes all understanding. Mercy and truth have met together. That means they're connected. But they weren't before. God's always had them connected. But when Jesus died on the cross, they came together. Truth was, you sin, you die. The wage of sin is death. But mercy and truth, they're right there together. As soon as you sin, you know, even though we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly, for the sinner. So they're right there together. Even though the truth is, you better be good or you're going to hell. The mercy, then we got mercy right away, every time. Boldly to the throne of grace all the time. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Grace, grace, grace. And then the next part of that scripture says, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. That means they're together. But righteousness is a gift. So I have peace with God. You don't get righteous and then you get peace. You get them together. They're together. They kissed each other. They're connected. So as soon as I got peace, as soon as I got righteousness through the Lord Jesus Christ, then I had peace. When I was a Catholic, I couldn't ever have peace because I was anxious and I was worried about my behavior. If you're worried about your behavior, then you're not peaceful. But God's given you a gift. So once you figure out, oh, Jesus is my righteousness. He's my holiness. You're at peace. Then you're peaceful. And you're at rest. Then sin won't have dominion over your life. if you're stressed about being good, about doing it the right way, whatever, or getting it, or whatever people say, then you won't have peace. Because your righteousness is your own righteousness. You're trying to create your own righteousness. That's why the Jews are never peaceful. They're always anxious. And if you ever watch a movie about the Jews or something, the women are always really loud and stressed, and they're arguing and fighting all the time, and they're stressed out because they want their kids to behave. They want their husband to behave. They want some kind of behavioral thing going on. But we don't have that. As Christians, you don't have that. You can't control people. You cannot control you can't fix people's problems. It's impossible. You cannot help people. You cannot say the right words or not the right words. You don't even think about that. You just got to get it yourself, get it in your family, and the church will take care of itself and the government will take care of itself. If my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, that's individual by individual. You can't do that as a group. You got to do it individually by individually. And then as the individual gets right, then the church, the family will be good, and the church will be right. But the world, the Antichrist, they're smart. They know exactly how this thing works, better than Christians do. If you destroy the individual, you destroy the family, then that you got it. You got the world. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Nothing. So you have to go all the way back to the individual to get the family, to get the church. That's why the church is a mess. That's why the government's a mess. That's why families are a mess. Because the individual, especially the fathers, the husbands, are worthless. You know, all they do is, you know, watch sports and drink beer or whatever they're into, and or have affairs and all that kind of stuff. And that's not good. You got to die to all that. You got to die. You got to die to this world. You're dead. Your life is hid with Christ and God. Once you're dead, then your wife is happy. My wife is happy all the time, and my family's happy. Because I'm dead. I'm dead. I have to die, but I have to do it every day. Every day I come to Jesus and I'm happy and I'm peaceful because of Jesus, not because of me. You know, if people knew me, you know, not being a Christian or in my flesh, that's not that interesting, because I'm just like everybody else. In my flesh, I'm wicked. I'm evil. I'm selfish. I want my needs met. I don't care about everybody else. I just want to meet all my needs. You know, whatever my lust of my flesh is, whatever sin I'm into, that's what I want to do. The desires of flesh, that's what I want to do. But I have to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, that's not right. So you got to help me. I can't do it. When I sin, I never try to fix it. Ever. Ever. I'm just that way. I know I can't do it. I'm not a doer. I'm not like my wife. My wife, when she sins, or she's disciplined. She'll discipline herself not to do it or whatever. But I'm not like that. I'm just like, man, God, if you don't do it. Like, for instance, you know, I hated my mother-in-law because she's my mother-in-law. I think that that's a natural thing. I don't know. I just, something about her. Every time she walked in the room, I just didn't like her. You know? And so I still, to this day, I have to repent and let Jesus do it. But I told Jesus, I will never, ever like her. I will never love her. I just don't like her. I hate her. I despise her. So, but I left it like that. I go, God, but I'm not going to help you. I'm just telling you, God, because you already know this, but I'm telling you, I'm confessing that I'm never going to change. So I was comforted by that, because I gave it to God. I prayed about it. I told him what the deal was. He already knew, of course. But I came boldly to the throne of grace, and I just told him what it was. I said, I hate her. Because I like using that, because the Bible says. I don't love her. But I knew. Even though I didn't want him to do it, I knew God was going to make me love her. He was going to change my heart. But I didn't want him to do that, because I was going to have to die, and then I'd have to treat her nice, and I didn't want to do that. And, you know... But anyway, God did it. But I told him, I said, God, I'm not going to help you. because I know if I do it, it'll be phony and fake and all that. So I just begin to say, well, I love Beverly. I love Leah. I love them. You know, I pray for them. And it's hard to hate people you're praying for. It's just, I don't know, something difficult about it. So anyway, and then God did it. And I knew he was going to do it, but at first I didn't want him to do it. Then I was like, okay, God, you can do it. I love her. But I didn't really feel it or think it. I just said it. And eventually it worked out. And I didn't even do anything. It's so easy. It's way easier than trying to do it. It's way easier than making my flesh do it. It's way easier. I'm telling you, because God does it. And then you're like, wow, God, that was awesome. I can't believe you did that. When I didn't even want to do it, first of all, I had no want to, because he's in me to will to do. I didn't want will to do it. I didn't want to do it. I told him, I don't want to do it, Lord, because I'm kind of having fun or enjoying. You know, sometimes you get into that kind of sin, you kind of enjoy it. I enjoy hating that person. I enjoy despising that person. I enjoy, you know, whatever the thing is you're doing. But then you have to just give it to Jesus just like that, and he takes care of it. Because repentance actually does mean that. If you read it, in Psalms even, when it talks about comfort, when you're comforted, that's what repentance is. You're comforted in your, because you sinned, but Jesus did everything. So you're comforted by that. You're, oh, wow. I don't have to say 10 Hail Marys. I don't have to say any Our Fathers. I don't have to do anything. No. Be comforted. Okay, I'm comforted. And I knew God was going to do it because I trust him. So God does everything. And you don't have to sweat or do anything. Just like the Ugandan trip, I know Julie can testify this. When we got there, everything was taken care of. Somebody already from the States already paid for the hotel. We had Joel had everything planned out. Whether it was good or bad, I don't know. We were just there. We were just like, hey, where's, and every once in a while somebody get lost. Hey, where's David Cooper? I don't even know where he's at. You know, like in the airport. Where's Julia? Where'd she go? She was here a minute ago. Now, this is one, I can't remember what, I think it was in Amsterdam. And she made a wrong turn or something and wasn't there. So we're like, wow, where's Julia? I guess she'll show up. So we didn't even worry about her. Sure enough, here she comes. Or David, I think maybe David Alverson found her or something. But Julia's real little, so you can lose her really easy. Where is Julia? Can't even see her. I don't even know where she's at. But anyway, God is good. Don't ever, everything pray. Everything.
Glory.
And give it to God. And that's your death. Remember, your death is that you can never boast. To God be the glory. If you do anything, if anything works out, you're just not going to fix this world or your life. You just can't do it. It's just too hard. Just give it all to God. Pray everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That means you got to be happy. That means you got to be joyful. That means you're thankful. God, thank you, Jesus. If I didn't have a God, nothing would get done. But I do have a God, a good God.
Amen.
Who will never leave me or forsake me. He will never, won't dash my foot against a stone. He gives his angels charge over me. He saved me. He sustains me. He keeps me. He provides everything I need, food, shelter, clothing, a good marriage. He just gave it to me for free. I didn't even know what that even was. He does more than you can ask or think. Well, if the God does that, then what do you have to worry about? Nothing. Your warfare is over. Your striving is over. Your life is over. It's over. I'm no longer Danny. I'm Christ in me, Danny. I'm a new creation.
Yep.
Old things have passed away, all things have become new. So if that's true, which it is, then I'm peaceful, man. That's all I wanted. I remember when I got saved, I told the guy, what do you do? Because I'm a Catholic, and you got to do something. Do you make a sacrifice? Do you give money? What do I have to do to be a Christian? He goes, well, let's pray. And that was a good answer. All I did was ask. Jesus, save me. It worked. I don't even know how it worked, but it worked. Just those easy words work.
Thank you, God.
And it never changed since that day. It's just, hey, I want to, you know. Remember, I saw Leah and I said, I want to marry that girl. Mm-hmm. So everything else, all the other distractions that I had was all gone. Because it was already, and it was over. I knew that moment when I said that, or when I thought that, when I saw Leah, I knew that was over. I didn't have to worry about dating or trying to find the wife or anything like that. I knew it was over. And I didn't even know her. I think I met her maybe once. But I didn't even go out with her on a date until a year later. It took a whole year. But I didn't have to worry about it. So all that whole year, all I did was read my Bible and pray and go to church. That's all I did, because I lived right at the church. And so I had no distractions, because I already knew. I didn't have to worry about doing all that, which is awesome. Just cuts through all the garbage, you know, and stuff gets done. Okay, so God is good. Psalms 146, God does everything, creates, sustains, keeps you, and you don't have to worry about anything. So everything that you can think of right now, because this week for me, because I've been gone for 2 weeks at my job, I mean, people are already making plans so that I'm going to be stressed out. People are planning my stress. But I told Leah, I go, you know what? I can only do what I can do. Physically, whatever. So when I, because I've been gone from my job for 2 weeks, so everything's piled up. And I won't catch up. I don't even care if I catch up, because it's not my problem. I mean, it is, kind of. But I'm just like, you know what? I can only do what I can do. I'm just going to pray. So I did. I just prayed. And even prayed on the way over here. And I know that everything's taken care of already. God's already prepared a way for me for the whole week. And so it'll work out perfect. And I do that all the time at my job, because everybody wants things done at a certain time. You know how you guys all have businesses and jobs. You know how things are scheduled. You know, and oh my gosh, if you don't put that blind in, then we won't get our money, whatever. Just that one blind for the whole job. But anyway, but I can't help that. I physically can only drive to a certain place and do as much work as I can do, and I'm done. You know, so I can't, how am I going to fix that? I don't know, I can't fix it. So I gave it to God. So let God worry about that. I'll just do what God tells me to do. And it'll work out.
Yeah.
It'll all work out. Everything works together for good. Everybody say that. Everything works together for good. Everything
works together for good.
Because you love God.
Yes.
And you're called according to His purposes. But how do I know if I love God? And then people do that all the time. I had a girl one time, a student, that was always worried. She goes, yeah, but you got to love God. But you can't figure that out. You do love God because He first loved you. If God loves you, you love Him. But people want to feel it and think it, and you know what I mean? People want some kind of evidence. People always are asking me, I don't know any real Christians. Blah, blah, blah. I go, I do. I know a lot. Because I'm not looking. I'm not trying to figure out whether they're nice or kind, or they have signs and wonders following them and all that kind of stuff. That's not even something I can even do or think about. I don't even care about that. You just have to believe that whatever the Bible says, it's a promise. Everything's a promise. Amen? So, Father, we thank You for this word today. We thank You that we are at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus was forsaken, we were not. That gave us everything. Now we'll never, ever, God, You will never, ever leave us or forsake us. In our jobs, in our families, in our church, in our government, You'll never leave us or forsake us. So we are the salt and the light of this world, because we're not stressed out, we're not worried, we're not fearful, we're not anxious, because we got a God that answers prayer, all of our prayers. Because You said, You even told us, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say rejoice. And You love us with a love that surpasses all understanding, a love that surpasses all knowledge. And thank you for that, God. Thank you. And all we can do is thank you and praise you.
Hallelujah.
And worship you, because you have done everything in us, for us first, then in us and then through us, so that we have nothing to worry about. And that's our death. Our death is that we do nothing and you do everything. But we want glory. We want to be somebody. I want to be important. I want to have dignity, value, and worth. But you gave it to us that for free. We didn't even earn it or desire it or anything. You just gave it to us for nothing. So we thank you for that. We love you today. We love you, love you, love you, love you, Jesus. We love you so much. And we thank you for taking care of us, taking care of our families, our jobs, our mission, our Christianity, our everything. You have taken care of it all. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Man, we have communion? You guys have communion every Sunday. That's awesome. We only have it once a month in Fort Worth. We're not as good as you guys are, that's for sure. We are not as Christian.
It's grace.
It's grace. It's just mercy. God's grace and God's mercy.
We probably need it more.
Yeah. That could be true.
Recovery. This is a part of our therapy.
Okay. Yeah. Part of our good work.
Really need.
Right. If you're sick today, any of you, when we take communion, just thank God for your healing. Thank God for His death. Your death is His death is your life. The blood covers all your sin. All. From past, present, and future. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that on the night you were betrayed, you told the disciples exactly what you were going to do. That your body would be broken. That your blood would be shed for the forgiveness of sins. And that's our life. If it weren't for that, we wouldn't have righteousness. If it wasn't for that, we would have no peace. We would have no hope. We would have no healing. We would have no provision for anything. So we thank you that that blood purchased everything. Jesus being forsaken, that was awesome, because now we're not forsaken. He will never leave us or forsake us. And Father, we thank you for that, that you're our shepherd and we're the sheep. You're the door, you're the way, you're the high priest, you're everything to us. So we thank you that on the night you were betrayed, you took bread and you broke it and you gave thanks. Wow, you gave thanks because you knew exactly the death you would die. And that, but you knew for the joy that was set before you, you endured the cross, despised and shame. And you knew everything. So we thank you for that. And we just partake of your body in Jesus' name. Go ahead, take it. We thank you for the same night you took the cup. This cup is a cup of the New Testament. A new covenant. Actually, it's not new. It was all the way back to Abraham. As a matter of fact, it was all the way back before the foundations of the world. Jesus was crucified from the foundations of the world. You knew in heaven, because there's no time in heaven, that this would be done. And so Abraham believed God. It was counted him for righteousness. David, faith. Moses even, who brought the law, faith in the blood. So we thank you that there's no more sacrifice for sins. No more. This is a complete, once and for all, sacrifice for sins. So we thank you for the blood. You took the cup. You gave thanks. You said, take this, all of you. Drink of it. For this is my body. This is my blood. Of this new thing. And so we take the cup. Thank you for healing everyone here, Father. In Jesus' name, flu, whatever, parasites, diseases. You've taken all of our diseases. You promised. Psalms 103, verse said, you heal us of all our diseases.
Glory.
So we thank you for that. We thank you that we give you all of our troubles. All of our troubles, our cares, our stress, we give it all to you. And we thank you. You take care of everything. We can, without you, we can do nothing. With you, we can do all things. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.